Hello and welcome to an impromptu Mooney on Politics podcast, which has been recorded at around 2 o'clock on Sunday, June the 18th. This episode is in response to today's Sunday Business Post story, featuring an interview with the President, Michael D. Higgins, who frankly excoriates the government on its proposed review of defence policy and on the consultative forum process, which is due to start this week. Now, first and foremost, the Business Post has to be congratulated for such a huge scoop. The President's comments need to be looked at in two levels. Number one, is this an appropriate intervention for the President? And I think the general consensus is not. This is not. Now, I think government ministers have been very diplomatic and clearly are determined to turn down the heat under this row by saying that the President has possibly got as far as the line but not stepped over it. But I think most people would believe that the President has crossed the line on this one. Now, the point to bear in mind, of course, is the line is not fixed. This is not set out in legislation. It's not set out in any formal way. This has been done by convention, and that the President is breaking convention. While a lot of people might agree with the President's views, and the President's views may in many ways reflect a broader public opinion, what would we feel if these were comments that didn't accord with public opinion? Would we appreciate some future president making such comments and expressing such a deeply held personal view and using his office to do so? I think we wouldn't, and I think in that context, I think it should be noted that this is an unwelcome breach of an existing convention, and it is one where the convention needs to be returned to quickly, and that people around the Taoiseach's office, and I mean officials in the Taoiseach's office and in the President's office, we need to get together to ensure that we don't see a repetition of this during the remaining 2 years of the presidency's term of office. So let's park that issue there. Let's turn to the substance of what the President has said. And I think on this one, he may have firmer ground. I just prefer he had had these discussions privately with the Taoiseach, Minister for Defence, and with the Taoiseach, and made his views more clearly known to them. But he has chosen to do so publicly. So what do I make of the President's comments? In some of them, I can kind of agree with. Many of them, I believe, are not that well informed. But here's the core point, and I think it's one that's worth repeating, is that I am still confused as to the purpose or the intention of the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, in initiating this forum, this consultation on defence policy. In response to the President's comments, the Taoiseach today says that it is not his purpose to undermine or to change Ireland's policy of military neutrality. And therefore, you must assume that he is talking about that this is about the operation of the policy, not the policy itself. Now, I think that's a welcome clarification. And although the Taoiseach insists that he has said so before and that this has been clear from the start, look, I watch these things fairly closely. I've been writing about defence policy. I've been highly critical of government defence policy for the last decade. And I certainly didn't get that clear message out of anything the Taoiseach had said previously. I found his messaging confusing. And I certainly have detected more than a hint of it's time we got rid of the triple lock. And the triple lock, which is a very political phrase, and is a phrase that's only really come into usage from the 2000s onwards, and certainly at the time of the European referenda. But the triple lock itself is enshrined in law going back to 1960, and that's an amendment of a Defence Act of 1954. Now, the triple lock basically says that Irish troops should only serve overseas on the basis of a United Nations mandate. That's lock one. Where there is a vote of the Dáil, that's lock two. And where there's a government decision, that's lock three. By the way, not necessarily in that order. Two of those locks are quite simply evident, which is, well, the government decision to send troops overseas. Well, if the troops were moving without the government decision, then I think we'd have a bigger problem than the triple lock. As for the second element of the triple lock, the Dáil approval, one would assume that a government having made a decision to send troops overseas would do so on the basis that they believed that they could pass us through the Dáil. And by the way, most of them know that this is the Dáil, not the Oireachtas. It's purely a decision for the Dáil. The Seanad has no role in this. So you would assume that if the government felt that it could send troops overseas, that it would do so, believing it would have a majority in the Dáil. And of course, not every government commands a majority in the Dáil, but it would believe it would do so at the time. So that's a decent safeguard and a proper system of checks and balances. So the issue has always come around the United Nations mandate. This has been an issue for a long time. Fine Gael, since the mid to late 1990s, maybe the early noughties, has always expressed a reservation about about this element of the triple lock, saying that giving the Security Council a veto over Irish troop deployments. Now, in reality, there's only been one case where we haven't been able to participate in a mission, and that was due to a Chinese veto of a UN Security Council resolution on a mission to Macedonia. And I think that was about recognition of Taiwan, but that's just working off best of memory. And that's about the only mission that we haven't been able to send troops on. In terms of the triple lock slowing down mission deployments, that's never been the case. For example, in the EU mission to Chad, which was done under UN Security Council resolution, Ireland is one of the first to have troops on the ground. We very quickly, once the UN Security Council had passed the mandate, the Dáil was convened in a special session and the government made a decision. So we were it hasn't proved an impediment or hasn't caused for slow deployments. We come to the other point, which is, well, effectively, are we giving any of the five permanent members of the Security Council a veto over our troop deployments? Well, why we do have this element of the triple lock is because we believe in multilateralism. We see the United Nations as the primary forum by which the world intervenes in trouble spots across the globe. And we see it's the use of the United Nations. Now, it is an imperfect organization. It's an imperfect body. The entire structure of the Security Council, the entire five permanent members and their vetoes, is something that's based on the global reality and the global politics in 1945-46 in the post-World War II environment. And that certainly is reforming, but that's not going to be reformed from here. So I still believe there is a validity in having the requirement for a UN mandate. And by the way, if you look back to the 1960 Act, it talks about a force established by the United Nations, either by resolution of the Security Council or by the General Assembly. So is it possible we could take a wider interpretation of a UN mandate in terms of if there was a General Assembly resolution supporting an action, or a General Assembly resolution expecting opposition to an invasion or to something like that? Would that be sufficient mandate? And I think if we're going to look at clarifying that in law, then that's something I could go along with. But certainly the noises we've heard from within government sources and from the Taoiseach, and even most recently today from a Fine Gael junior minister, which is basically saying that the triple lock and the requirement for a UN mandate is no longer fit for purpose, I think that's a worrying development. And I think that does unpick a key element of our military neutrality. And while the Taoiseach says there's no plan to change policy, I really do think he's causing a very confusing message with that. Now, as to the President's criticism of the consultative forum, I don't think that holds water. In fairness, if you go to gov.ie/consultative forum, you'll actually see a list of the speakers. And it's a fairly wide-ranging list. There is mainly academics. There are some retired generals from the Irish Defence Forces. So the idea of this been filled with NATO generals and admirals, which would be the extrapolation from what the President said in the Sunday Business Post, just simply isn't factually correct. It does include speakers. For example, it includes somebody from the PANA, Roger Cole, who's been a long-standing opponent of any move towards NATO membership, and indeed PANA have been predicting that Ireland that the successive Irish governments were on the brink of bringing us into NATO against our will. So I think you can make the triple lock work better, and if that's the purpose of the exercise, I can go along with this. And by the way, I don't believe we should fetishize the triple lock. It is a policy, and it's a sovereign policy that we choose to have for ourselves. But the core point about this is all of this argument is mute. All of this entire debate doesn't make sense to me in terms of we still have a Defence Forces, which a commission on the Defence Forces basically says is not fit for the purpose for which it's constructed. In 2000, the biggest modernization program in the Defence Forces took place under the 2000 White Paper. It set Defence Force strength at 10,500. But since 2012, 2013, 2014, Defence Force strength has been below that. Now, there was a temporary reduction during the global crash to bring Defence Force strength down to 9,500. That temporary cut was made permanent in 2015 by Simon Coveney. But even then, the government couldn't even achieve that 9,500. For most of his time as minister, the Defence Force strength was below 9,000. For most of the last 2 years, it's been 8,000 and below. And the last figure I saw mentioned, this is admittedly a couple of months ago, and I'm told that there has been recruitment since, it was 7,800. So we don't have the forces necessary. So shouldn't all our focus, shouldn't all our energies be on bringing the Defence Force strength back up to where it should be, and more importantly, to bring it up further as envisaged in the Commission on the Defence Forces, which reported just over 18 months ago. And that's the second part of what I don't understand about the consultative forum, because we've just had a very comprehensive commission on the Defence Forces. And it seems to be we've had a consultation, we've had a discussion programme, we've had a commission, we've had a deep dive into what the Defence Forces requirement, what they need to do, their purpose, their function, and the threat assessment. And we've done that 18 months ago. We haven't had much action since. We've had some action, but not much. So we've had a commission on the Defence Forces. It basically gave the government three options. It said you could continue to do things as you are, and here's what you need to be able to do that. And that was called Level of Ambition 1, which was not terribly ambitious. And it basically said you can have a Defence Forces which can be an aid to civilian power and have a token level of defence capacity, but it would not be sufficient to be a comprehensive Defence Forces. Now, the government rejected that, and that was quite right, although that's been de facto Fine Gael policy for the last 10 years. So Commission further recommended then Level of Ambition 2, which was essentially returned the Defence Forces to the strength levels and to the level of service requirement and to the capabilities it had 10, 15, 20 years ago, with the ability to send troops overseas and United Nations established peace operations. And the government largely accepted that. What's small, and the Level of Ambition 3 was how you could create a more comprehensive, capable Defence Forces with greater on-island security capacity, but more importantly, air capacity and naval capacity. Now, the government didn't go for Level of Ambition 3, but it took two or three elements of that and stuck it into Level of Ambition 2, and it agreed that's what it was going to do. But where is this happening? So, as I said earlier, which is the Defence Force at the moment have 8,000 troops. Under Level of Ambition 2, the aim is to have a Defence Forces of 11,500 by 2028. Now, the level of recruitment you need to achieve that is bigger than anything we've seen over the last two decades. But I'm not seeing that yet. I'm not seeing the capacity, the capability for the Defence Forces to train the number of people it needs to train. I'm not seeing the investment necessary in new equipment, etc., to reflect that. Now, this is the government says it plans to do this, but what we've had for the last 3 to 4 months from the Minister of Defence is talking about anything except that, is talking about this consultative forum, etc. There is nothing wrong with the consultative forum. I just think it is a distraction and a deflection from what we should be focused on, is how do you recruit, and more importantly, how do you retain Defence Force personnel? At the height of the Celtic Tiger, we didn't have a difficulty recruiting really good, capable people into the Defence Forces. I remember doing figures, I think in 2007, 2008, where we were looking at the number of applicants for every general service recruit. I remember looking at the figures that year, and I think there were 7 applicants for every position. Now, some applicants fall well short of the basic requirement. But I remember talking to the people in charge of recruitment at the time, and they were saying, no, that there was actually, certainly, for at least by margin of 2 to 3, there were really capable and good people coming in for the Defence Forces. And by the way, when it looked at the commissioned officer level, when people coming in cadets, there were at least 25 to 26 people, applicants for every position that was made available. And the competition for that was extremely stiff and extremely tough. So we shouldn't have difficulty recruiting Defence Force members. There is a large number of families across this country, a large number of communities who have a long association with the Defence Forces, where the Defence Forces, being a member of it, it seemed to be the career of choice, where you will go in with certain skills and will increase and dramatically increase your skill set within a short space of time. And for some people, the membership of the Defence Forces is a short career, as in it's a 10, 12, 14, 20-year career. It's not something you're going to go in to do for 35 or 40 years of your life, not for everyone. They join the Defence Forces knowing that when they leave the Defence Forces, they will have skill sets in engineering, technology, organisation, and nowadays in areas like cybersecurity. So, and I've heard over the during the course of the response to the President's comments today, we've heard a lot of people talking about a need to increase our air capacity, and that's clearly the case. We've seen people talking about, quite rightly, about a need to increase our cybersecurity capacity. That's something that has been talked about for 5 or 6 years. But across all of that time, the Defence Force's cybersecurity capacity diminished. So you had lots of people talking about it, but you had nobody in government, certainly not the minister, doing anything to address it. We had some really good people in cybersecurity in the Defence Forces, and they were people who were geared at building the cybersecurity capacity of the Defence Forces itself. In terms of the nation's cybersecurity strategy, it's still quite weak. And we saw with the HSE hacks, etc. The part of the infrastructure on this island which is most open to cyber attacks is the parts owned by the state. The infrastructures of the major IT companies here are highly protected by their own in-house people and by security companies who they have working for them, who are constantly monitoring their cybersecurity capacity. It's the state which has the weak spot. And that cybersecurity should be an issue in terms of national cybersecurity should be an issue in which the Defence Forces has an important part. But to do so, it needs to have the capacity and the capability, and it needs to get the people in to do that. The other issue, which I've heard mentioned a couple of times, is about the undersea cables that go along the southwestern shore. Now, I'm delighted to hear people talking about this, but this is 4 or 5 years after this issue was flagged. And to their credit, it was Defence Forces themselves who flagged this as an issue and flagged our lack of capability to defend these cables off our southwestern shore. The 2019 Defence Forces review flagged this up as an issue, and there was no response from government. So I'm delighted we've discovered this issue now, but when I hear it being used as an excuse for let's having another look at reviewing things, but the Commission has already looked at these issues. The Commission is the one that's done it. It's produced a report. It's produced an action plan. What we don't have is the implementation. I think it was discovered at an Oireachtas committee there about less than a month ago that the chairperson of the implementation group for the Commission recommendations and for their implementation had still to be appointed, and I believe that position has now been filled. But this is 18 months, 2 years on from the Commission report. So why are we dragging our feet? Why are we having further discussions? Why are we having further consultations where we already have a plan on the table to bring our Defence Forces up to capacity? And when that has taken place, then I think we can consider these issues. I don't think it is a serious effort to have a look at reviewing the triple lock when this government has barely 18 months, a little over 18 months left to run. I really don't think that's a realistic prospect. I do think this is about kite flying. I do think this is about shadow boxing. I do think this is about deflection. I would prefer to see the minister, who is Micheál Martin as Taoiseach, focused on delivering the Commission report and delivering level of ambition too. And I would prefer to hear Micheál Martin talking about how he intends to deliver this before 2028. If he were to do that, then I think he would be doing the Defence Forces an enormous service, and I think he would be doing more to bolster, strengthen and to develop Irish defence policy by committing himself full time to doing that than to having these discussions on legitimate issues. It is perfectly legitimate to discuss the triple lock. It is perfectly legitimate to say in the modern context, is our policy of military neutrality a relevant one? But I think when I hear people saying that, oh, this needs to be discussed now because so much has changed, are people seriously telling me that more has changed since the invasion of Ukraine by Putin than had changed in the years from 1960 to 2020? I really don't think so. So anyway, so there are my thoughts. This is a little bit more long-winded and a little bit more rambling than I would have intended. I will look at trying to solidify these down or trying to resolve these down into a shorter text over the next day or so. But I just wanted to put some of this stuff on the record. As I say, I've been writing about this for many years, for 7 or 8 years in my blog. I would invite people to go back and have a look over how I have been consistently saying for the last 7, 8 years that we are under-investing defence, that we were letting things slip, we're letting things slide, that we were getting bogged down in the wrong discussions, and I really believe we are doing so again, and that we are doing so at the behest of Micheál Martin as Minister of Defence, I think is something to be regretted. Micheál Martin, his manifesto in 2020, firmly committed Fianna Fáil to the triple lock. The programme for government firmly commits the government to the triple lock. If he wants to change policy, then let him say so. And let him do so the way policy should be formulated, which is in public view, in the Oireachtas, go to the Defence Committee, go to the Foreign Affairs Committee, and say, I believe this is what we should do. Don't hive it out, subcontract it, and hand it off to others. Discussion, no problem at all. But if we're talking about changing an element of policy, and the triple lock is an element of policy, well then let's say so, let's then do so directly. And explain to your party why he is changing its long-standing policy, and why he is doing so without a discussion within the party. I fear that that's what this is about. And I think what's going to happen is that we're going to waste the guts of 6, 8, 9 months on a discussion like this, while the necessary work to build up the capacity, the strength, and the resources of the Defence Forces will not be done. Any Minister of Defence, anyone who's ever been Minister of Defence, knows that is a daily battle with the Department of Finance, convincing them to spend money on defence. It has been a huge political battle for every successive Minister for Defence. I don't believe it's going to be any different this case. I just wish the Minister Martin to put the energies that he's wasting and expending on this issue into that. Okay, that's this impromptu Mooney on Politics podcast. Sorry, it actually went on a little bit longer than I'd intended. So until the next time, which will probably be 10 days or 2 weeks away, but who knows, as things are developing, it might even be tomorrow or the next day. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, and I'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.